Life Audio.
Hey, listeners. These last three episodes of the Happy Rant podcast are brought to you by our longtime partner and good friends at Visual Theology. If you visit visualtheology.church, you can see the full array of resources they offer for Bible study, for Bible teaching. So if you are you're a Bible teacher, you're a youth minister, you're a college minister, you homeschool your kids, or you just you invest a lot in family discipleship or your own personal growth, they offer amazing resources that put deep biblical and theological truths into visually captivating and clear expressions so that you can begin to see what the words on the page express in the Bible. So it just helps the Bible come to life. It helps a lot of innocuous things spring forth. It helps you make connections in Scripture you wouldn't have otherwise made. And the designs are spectacular. So again, visit visualtheology.church. They have memberships. So if this is something that you want to use on an ongoing basis, you can do so for your classroom, for your the ministry at your church, whatever it is you've got going. You can make an individual purchase of a book, of a poster, of curriculum. They offer a full array. Be sure to check them out. They have offers for discounts on your first purchase as well. So visualtheology.church, be sure to check them out.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio in Soma for our last ever episode, boys. Mm. How are we feeling? How are the old emotions? I'm here with Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin, my two friends, also my partners in radio, also my partners in emotions right now.
Well, you have one partner in emotion at least.
Well, yeah.
At least you have one.
Pipe, you feeling anything?
Pipe, Is the emotional needle moved at all? Pipe, come on.
Yeah.
Make something up. Lie to the audience. You're in the Midwest. You know,
kind of a last night.
No, if I'm in the Midwest, I would tell everybody I'm fine.
It's great.
Last night at high school football field, you're crying a little bit in front of the locker. The coach, you want to look good for the coach?
Man, that always comes later for me. Give me like 72 hours and I'll be crying on my way to work
because
it all caught up with me.
You're like, baby, have you heard from Pipe? I'm a little worried about
it. I know. Yeah,
it's been a whole week and we haven't recorded an app.
Yeah, I know it. Where are your emotions at, baby? Anywhere?
I don't know. Who was I? I was just talking to somebody and who was it? And they were talking about how much the pod has meant to them, and a fresh wave of nostalgia came over to me. And for a split second, I thought, I don't know, boys, is this a good idea? And that quickly was erased when I thought, this is a great idea.
Who wants to restart the pod? Who's sending the first text volley in a week and a half?
I will say, as I've thought about this leading up to tonight, trying to anticipate, like, I don't know, what is it going to feel like to stop doing a thing you've done for 10 years? It's mostly what you just said, where there is a lot of, so I was talking to, it was Emma, right? Who started listening to this show at 17, is now 25.
Mm. Wow.
Which is everything we talked about in the last two episodes, that high school, college years. And I thought that's an enormous amount of life
commitment.
Change, like becoming an adult, all of that. And we have a handful of other people who have listened probably to every episode, which is utter insanity, but.
Unless you're Big T.
But
yeah, you're like me then.
For some reason, this show has meant a lot to a lot of people, and every time I hear that, it catches me off guard. But it's really meaningful.
It is.
Because sometimes this feels like an utter waste of time.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Can we be honest with everybody?
Especially the last couple of years financially, but I'm not bitter. It's okay. I'm dealing with some things. Mostly the love of money.
Like your level of money, you know, compared with what most people's level of money would. You got to be honest about
what I've experienced
right?
in this life.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know,
that $7,500. Most people
bring in those six figures and they'd be thrilled. You know, and you on the other hand, you've just grown jaded because of the level of lifestyle.
I know,
you've
man. Yeah, I'm so hardened by all the fame, all the decadence.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
You know what I'm still open to though. You know what still gets my heart beating a little bit faster is Q&A at these live programs. And that was a little
also asking questions and not answering them.
Yeah.
How you ask him how he's doing, you ask me how I'm doing. How are you doing?
You know, I'm good. I'm good. I think I'm in the right place. And I've like you guys, I've had the experience of talking to some really great people tonight.
my friend Christina from Florida, whose name I misspelled in the flap of the book. I was trying to be extra and like sign it to her.
A K or a C? Where'd you go with that?
Or a
one,
CH?
Man? She's a CH. I did the K, and okay. I just went for it. I was in the moment.
Man, that's rough. Yeah.
I said, Christina, let's let the healing begin now and just power through, okay? And let this be a thing that we can enjoy, just
yeah,
the two of us.
Because I think yeah. that's going to have to happen. Yeah.
No, but she came all the way here from Florida, been listening for a long time, and I very, very much appreciate it. And it's I grew up listening to radio and driving around, listening to radio, sometimes talk, like morning show guys. And, you know, they're a part of your life. You know, they're a part of your interior space for whatever amount of time you're listening. And it's a privilege to be a part of people's lives in that way. I think it's very sweet. And that's no snark there at yeah. all. Yeah. The fact that people want to listen to us bloviate, is kind of a sweet deal, dude.
That's right.
And
remains baffling.
It does remain it. Yes and no.
So yeah. by all means, know. Let's end this thing.
Yeah. 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 Send him a text. Look, maybe not next week.
Always,
I'm taking the under
always
seven
leave
days.
Them wanting more, which yeah. is a thing more preachers need to pay attention to.
Well, we have
to.
Not done a good job at that. Cause
no, we haven't.
This thing has hit a length.
Yeah, you both want to be done and you want to restart it. You're yeah, well, a jumble yeah. of contradictions tonight, baby. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we got to give it a rest, right?
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to open the mics up here. And by the mics, I mean one. And I'm going to invite people to stream down to the front. You can bring a gift if you have it. You can approach the mic.
You can potentially earn a copy of the Timely Timeless
yeah.
Truths Bible via Aaron right back
Is
there.
Is that
Aaron.
What it's called?
It's called the Timeless.
So,
is that different than other Bibles that are less timeless?
Yeah. Apparently, there's a shelf life on,
Depends on the
other
translation
issues.
Well,
of
I mean,
God's
shoot,
word,
there's the
you know.
There's like the Gospel Study Bible. I'm like, what's in the other ones? So, no.
Not quite
you're good.
As timeless.
For the love of all that's good. No, I'm kidding. I will say a thing about Aaron, though. He's going to be, in a sense, evaluating. So, as people come up to ask their questions, Aaron's going to kind of. The gears are going to be turning back there, and he's going to bestow two very lucky people with brand new Bibles tonight based on the quality of your questions. Mm. So really be thinking about it. Be thinking about how you're going to come up here and just crush it. So I want to open the mic. Who's first? Who's our first question?
That's brave, huh?
It is brave. Yeah, let's go. All right.
And they don't got to be chosen. You just, like, they can just come up, right?
They can just come up. Maybe they raise a hand. I invite them. I don't know. Or they can come up and stand in line. I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever
yeah.
they want. Yeah. I'm Midwestern. I'm accommodating.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm Lexi. I'm from Columbus. I met Ted just now, Barnabas, when I was walking in. Ronnie, you actually visited my church a couple weeks ago, but I wasn't there. So I'm really sad I couldn't meet you. So,
oh, man.
Hi.
Well, yeah. What church was that?
Citizens?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, shoot.
Yeah. So great to meet you guys. Yeah. Thanks for being here. I have just like tiny little presents for all of you.
Oh, my God.
Wonderful.
Come on.
You guys, let's all clap right. for Lexi. Yeah. Lexi is a tier one.
Lexi is tier one.
Absolute top of the mountain. Oh, look
wow.
at
that.
Nice.
A little swag.
Is that acceptable to you? Tia, are you going to struggle with that? Is that a struggle?
I'm not going to struggle with it because I'm a fan of all football.
Okay.
And I had a favorite player from Ohio State in the 90s. I'm just going to do 10 seconds on this. If you're an old Ohio State fan, you'll know
Johnny
who I'm
Manziel.
Talking about.
Andy Katzenmoyer.
Andy Katzenmoyer, the big cat. Legendary neck roll.
Yes.
Barbed wire tattoos. I wanted to be Andy Katzenmoyer, so I will wear this with pride. I'll think of
him. He wanted to be that guy.
I wanted to be that guy.
Yes. There it is.
Oh,
thank
wow.
Thank you so much.
A Christmas Advent devotional.
Alistair Begg.
Did you write it?
Alistair
oh,
Begg.
Alistair
I Begg. Co-wrote
yeah.
it with Alistair Begg.
Yeah.
Because Jared didn't want to co-write this one with me. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I begged Jared. You didn't want to do it.
That's even thinner than yours. There are even fewer words.
Are there pictures?
He's like, Begg did less and got paid more money. I'm bitter.
Begg did a lot less and got paid a lot more money.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Lexi, what's
it.
Your question? Lay it on us.
So my question is, I know you guys are all sports movie fans.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could only watch one sports movie for the rest of your life,
ooh,
what would that movie be?
That's a great question.
That is insanity.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, so mine's easy.
Go.
Mine is Hoosiers, for sure.
Oh, I love
that. Good answer.
Yeah, a little yeah. Indiana stuff going on yeah. with that. Yeah. I mean, that is...
If you can't get romantic about that
oh,
movie,
my God.
There's no hope for you as a human.
Literally no hope
None.
As a human.
Yeah. picking out of every sports movie in the world, this is very hard.
That's a tough one. I'm going back even on my choice right now.
I know. It makes sense for me that it would be football, but I don't know that any of the football movies get to that place. I'm going original Rocky, best picture, 1976. I can do it over and over again. It's beautiful. It's kind of quiet, kind of it's a love story.
It's so funny to me because I don't consider Rocky a sports movie.
No, it's not. It's a love story. Yeah.
But no, but it is a sports movie.
It is, yeah.
But I've never thought of it like that in that light, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so interesting.
I think it transcends it, though.
No.
If it was a sports movie, it wouldn't have won Best Picture.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah. I'm going with Rocky.
I think I'd go with The Sandlot.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I pretty much watch that once or twice a year.
Is that a sports movie, though, Pipe? I mean, that blurs the line.
Does it exist without baseball?
No.
Like, Rocky could exist without boxing.
I think both those blur the lines a little bit.
Interesting.
But I think it's acceptable.
Yeah, Hoosiers, you got to have the basketball in there.
Sandlot is absolutely a sports movie because the whole thing is about their love of baseball. It doesn't exist without baseball.
Yeah, I guess when I think of a sports movie, I think of, sports.
Can I do an honorable mention? I've got a crappy 90s football
movie. Real sports teams.
Yeah.
Not just the kids on the lot, right?
Baby, okay. We talked about The Program, 1994.
But I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. What?
Have you seen The Program? 1994 college football movie.
I've never seen it.
Real bad. James Caan just mailing it in. It's super fun. Anybody seen The Program out there?
James Caan.
Yeah, Jared. Attaboy. What do you think of it?
And
you
Josh.
Like it? Yeah. You're
Lexi,
wrong.
Can I love ask it. What your favorite?
I think Josh gave it a thumbs up back there.
Josh gave it a thumbs up. All right.
Lexi's favorite.
Yeah. What's your favorite sports movie?
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think I've ever seen a sports movie.
Okay. I love it. Well, now you have recommendations.
You were serving us with these questions.
So I'll definitely watch all three of those.
You should do that
at some point.
It's a great fall movie. So is The Sandlot for sure.
That's true.
Rocky.
Rocky's a Christmas movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Don't get me started on it.
I'm just needling you. Let's clap it up for
Lexi. So Die Hard. All right.
All right. Who's next?
Oh, she's got the phone out. She's got.
Oh, we got notes. Oh, it's been brewing for a while.
I feel a little scared right now.
Yeah.
A little uneasy.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Hey.
Good to see you again.
What's up, Armstrong?
You know. I'm here.
Loving life.
Conference wife, loving life.
Conference wife, loving life.
Get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So.
You'd sell tens of
copies.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little about the Christian publishing industry. Ooh. You guys know it is cutthroat.
Oh, my gosh.
Dreams Sharks. Are made. Hearts are smashed.
$7,500 are earned or not earned. I mean,
so
lives are in the balance.
In this cutthroat, sometimes maybe a little cloak and dagger world, who is the puppet master or master of puppets, if you will?
Metallica reference. I like that.
The Christian publishing industry and why.
Who's pulling the strings?
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I think somebody has probably a little bit of a better idea about that. If you want to get down to brass.
I mean, obviously there's the boys over at Crossway. You know, they're puppet masters, puppeteers.
I feel like there's sort of a paradigm here where there are publishers like Crossway that they live outside the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sort of, you know, if this is a dystopian world, they're the ones who live outside of the overarching weirdo governance, because all of the New York houses are exactly the same. And they own almost all of the Christian publishing companies, which aren't really Christian publishing companies.
So what you're saying is it's the Illuminati?
You know, that I don't know what that is.
I mean, we'd just have to believe you if you said it was.
It's it's basically some big media conglomerate, which then fits every conspiracy theory ever. Which means that the Christian publishing company is just part of all the major conspiracy theories, other than Crossway and Moody and a few of the others that remain independent. The Good Book Company. So,
to your question, though, I wish there was some ethereal puppet master with a personality that we could point to. You know what I mean? Somebody interesting.
Somebody we could blame. Is
There's
what you
literally
mean.
No one interesting in it. So unfortunately. I can't even manufacture
he's the one responsible for whether a book is
right. It's going up the food chain.
He
far
just
enough.
Decides.
There are no kingmakers in publishing.
He gets your proposal for small town pastors too, and he's do I wanna? Am I pulling the trig? You know? Yeah. Right.
So my husband really wants me to say that it's Dave Schrader.
I'm
two of us get that.
I'm expressing my two
of us in the room get that. No, three of us in the room get that. That's all right.
Who's Dave Schrader? Give me 30 seconds.
Dave Schrader is a former marketing whiz at B&H Publishers who's now a literary agent.
What was his big score? Who did he bring to the...
Aaron Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
He published all of Aaron's stuff.
Rocket ship. All right, let's clap it up for Dave Schrader. Clap it up for that question.
Thank you, Emily.
Yeah.
More notes.
More notes, I love it.
I always get nervous when people bring notes.
I know.
Well, it was a long question.
That's
plus,
okay.
There were things I needed to remember.
Yeah.
My husband gave me permission to come up and ask this question.
All right.
True complimentarian fashion. That was sweet of him to do that.
He lets you wear trousers as well?
Yeah.
No,
God forbid.
They are flowy, so,
it's
you know.
It's true.
He demands that you take notes on orange paper to match
yes,
his pants.
Orange, yeah. I am Mrs. Orange Pants. I am a longtime listener and a first-time caller.
Love it.
Barnabas, this is kind of a serious-er question.
All right.
We have a 7-year-old son who is hard-headed. And when you were talking about your college experience, I feel like you were speaking into his future. Like I went, whoa, that's
him. My apologies.
Yeah, he's a piece of work. Do you have any advice on how we can direct him in a way that he will listen?
No. I do have advice, but not on how he will listen.
Yeah, well, okay, advice would be helpful. So that we can get to not being where you were in college.
I don't know if I can help you with that. But, no, in all seriousness, when a kid is hard-headed and arrogant, I don't know if your son is arrogant. Ooh. You just said hard-headed. I was projecting. And also remembering. All you can do is tell them what is true and assume that at some point they will realize that it is true. Or not assume. You pray that at some point they will. It's basically planting seeds and hoping that they will grow fast. Sometimes they grow really, really slow. And the number of things that I say and do and believe now that I was told when I was a kid is astounding because of all the years of thinking that's dumb or I don't want any part in that. So I don't think you can get through to a thick-headed kid. There's just, you tell them what's true and you pray that the Lord will open their eyes to it. And you don't push them away for their mistakes so that they can come back around at some point and go, you were right. And thank you. Which is the thing, I've had that conversation with my parents on any number of occasions because they were right about a lot of stuff and they were very patient with me and remain so despite my ongoing strong personality and obstinance.
So what you're saying is I have to learn how to be patient with my...
Yeah. Yeah. And in short, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
That was really good advice, though.
Yeah, thank you.
It really was.
I would also say, not tongue-in-cheek, most hard-headed kids didn't get it from nowhere, which means that there's a fair amount of looking back at your own life and thinking, you know, how patient was the Lord with me? How patient were my parents with me? Or if they weren't patient, how patient do you wish they were with you? And so you can sort of take all of that and give your kid what you wish you would have had or what the Lord gave you.
Yeah. Love it. Let's clap it up. That was a great question.
I think that question deserves a Bible. So
yeah, that question does deserve a Bible.
She gets a Bible.
That'll be like the on deck circle right there.
There you go.
Chair. I like that. Yeah. That's a sports ref.
Hi.
Yeah. You've watched a couple movies.
Young Deck Circle.
Yeah. Love it.
Name's Jessica, native Indiana.
All right.
I would love to probe your brain about your musical career, Ronnie, but unfortunately, this is more of a sports question today.
Yes.
So I'm sorry.
I like this theme.
Appreciate that.
But so kind of like a hot take, what are your guys' opinions on the requirements for getting into the like a sports hall of fame?
Like,
for instance, Sterling Sharp, like, he was second only, you know, to Jerry Rice in touchdowns and receptions.
I love that
like
you appreciate Sterling
Sharp. From, like, 94.
Yeah.
And, like, but Terrell Davis has similar stats, and he's in the Hall of Fame. But it's just because his career got cut short. Or, like, baseball, say, there's a 10-year playing requirement for the major league. Heaven forbid something happened to Shohei Ohtani. He's a unicorn.
Yeah.
But should he not be ever allowed into the Hall of Fame?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Happy Rant Sports.
Yeah.
That's why I came here.
That's welcome to the winter of Ronnie's discontent.
I'm sorry, Ronnie. Yeah, as the microphone falls
it's a great
away,
question.
It is a great question. Pipe, your thoughts?
I don't know if it's a great question.
You have concerns.
Hall of Fames need to go one of two directions. They either need to basically be a museum of everything interesting that's happened in sports, like all elite accomplishments. So even like a 5-year stretch that's elite, that deserves to be recognized. Or they need to be really small. And we're talking like the 100 best players as voted on by whoever. But what they are now is a middle ground where there's people who are in there who do not compare to other people in there, and that doesn't make any sense. And so, yeah, I think it either needs to be like an awesome, fascinating museum of history, or like an elite small hall thing. And I lean more towards the big fascinating thing. Like in baseball, I think everybody who did steroids who was an awesome baseball player deserves to be in. The fact that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens aren't in the Hall of Fame is ridiculous.
Wow.
So, but also, they should be in there with an explanation of these guys cheated.
With a footnote,
right?
Yeah.
Cool. That's interesting for and part of history.
Yeah. Should Pete Rose be in there too?
Who's that, Pete Rose?
Pete Rose, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely.
With a also he did this to break the rules.
Like is it do they want to be in there with an asterisk though?
If it's a museum of things that are interesting, then everybody has some sort of asterisk. Babe Ruth deserves an asterisk because he played before integration. So, you know, when it's only we all know how sports go when it's a bunch of white dudes because we've watched basketball in Indiana. So sports in that framework are not as good as when it's broader than that. Yeah. So
it's kind of hard.
It's real close to home since my favorite movie.
Don't we all have an asterisk of some right. type in our lives though? You know, I bet we all do. We could all talk about them. I love the question. I'm a yes on Sterling Sharp. That was really good. Let's clap it up.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's a good question.
That one bothers me a lot.
Really? Sterling Sharp one?
It just, I like you said, it should be almost more appreciation based of just your accomplishments or if you've done something just outstanding.
I guess where I'd be on him though is that if think about Lawrence Taylor. If he had only played for 5 years.
Yeah, Ronnie, think about him.
Being as dominant as he was and then had a neck injury or some career ending thing, you would still marvel at how good he was for that period of time. So that's where I would be on that. But we can disagree. It's okay.
Fair enough.
All right. Let's clap it up again. That was lovely. Who's next?
Hey, I'm Hunter from Wisconsin. I've been listening. I think my first step was the Ferdy Futon episode.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Classic. That's been a few years.
Yeah.
So I think that's, 5, 6 years ago. Anyways, the show has meant a lot to me. I really appreciate it. I'm in ministry. And so you guys sometimes just say things like, yeah, you get it. You understand. And just we live in this really unique little niche subculture that I can say to like the average church member and they're 65 and they're like, I just don't get that. But so I've really appreciated. Thanks for that. Two questions. Ted, can I call you baby?
Sure. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Ted, baby. So this is the first question. My friends tell me that I've based too much of my personality of how you talk on the podcast. Like, what am I supposed to do with that now?
They're saying you're basing too much of your personality on how we talk on the podcast.
No, just
mostly you.
Yeah.
Mostly me.
Ted.
What do they mean by that?
I have friends in the room calling people baby. Yeah. Everything's shortened. Just the whole kind of persona, you know?
Yeah.
Like using the word persona.
Yeah. <laughs> you know? All right.
Or vis-a-vis, I've Googled it 90 times. I would also really appreciate a good definition of what does that actually mean?
Like vis-a-vis?
Vis-a-vis.
I don't know.
That is your phrase.
Yeah. Vis-a-vis means like I'm referring to something that I was referring to before. Like vis-a-vis sports movies, let's talk about Field of Dreams, which didn't get enough love.
That's like a callback.
Kind of like a callback.
Okay, so what am I supposed to do? I have this personality that's based off of a middle-aged man who I don't listen to anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I probably have my
That's called deconstruction.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. You're deconstructing from me. That could be a healthy thing for you.
Sure.
Yeah. That's your journey. That's where
right,
you are.
Right. We all got to figure out. I just got to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
With no answers. And then the other thing.
That's what Ted does. He poses a bunch of questions and never answers them.
Right. I'm like Rob Bell. Less money. Let's say you take away all the money, all the success.
Similar glasses.
Yeah. And then the other question is a little bit practical. So you guys have talked a few different times on the show about being extroverts married to very introverted women. I'm in my first year of marriage.
The opposite.
I was going to say, you're the other way around, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm in my first year of marriage. My wife is very introverted. I want to just be like, I'm the kind of extrovert that I want to be around people. Like if I'm an hour alone, it's like I really, really would prefer not to be. So what's just practical advice?
Now, if you're gonna really base your personality on me, you got to go introvert. You know, you got to get tired of people very quickly, and then retreat to a cold, dark place. You know,
called a cigar room.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where do you get like your hands on some like good '90s fullback film for doing that?
I mean, you could just Google '90s fullback film. You know,
I would Necroles, start with
Nebraska games from like the early to mid '90s.
I would start with Mike Allstott.
Yeah, just, he'll be foundational.
Just start there.
Did it all. Corey Schlesinger from the Lions.
Yeah, good one.
I know all these. The Makavica brothers from Nebraska.
Oh, for sure.
Coke Heeft, modern guy.
He's a tight end. But yeah,
tight end fullback from Minnesota. Yeah, fun stuff. But you had a question in there, like a real one.
It was the extrovert introvert question.
Yeah, that's for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ronnie,
like what do you mean? Like how do you manage that?
Well, it's like
how do you manage an introvert?
Yeah. So that's what he's asking. I am most extroverted probably to my wife. Mm.
Sure.
Right? So
that ever get tiresome for her?
It's very tiresome for her.
I imagine it does.
I think just what you do is if you put her introvertedness, if that is your priority and to figure out where her tank is, because all introverts are different. It's not one size fits all with introverts, right? Some introverts just have more capacity. They get some introverts get tired out, get less energy from people, get tired out more quickly. Like so, my wife like loves people. She loves being around people, but she just loses energy really fast. So she does great when we're in a room full of people, but it's like okay, I hit my limit. Whereas like I hit my limit in like a week. Right. Mm. And, so it's kind of like a godly marriage, right? If you lean into how to best serve her in her introvertedness, somehow I believe that will help you in your extrovertedness, because you'll get served that way because it's a way of you being extroverted by caring for her introvertedness. Right. And then all that other stuff, like, oh, can we be around people? Man, just serve her the best way you can with how she's gonna be able to, still feel like she has a life living with an extrovert. Yeah.
Quit hanging out with your friends, essentially, is what
I
was.
That's basically what I said. Yeah.
She doesn't want to. Let's clap it up for the big guy. That was great.
It's a good question.
Hey, listeners. These last three episodes of the Happy Rant podcast are brought to you by the New English Translation of the Bible, and particularly the Timeless Truths Bible that they have put out. The New English Translation is the newest full translation from the original languages. So not just a revision of a previous translation, but a fresh new translation by a collection of wonderful scholars. It's a great translation. It's one that I look forward to using in my next reading of the Bible. I like to change translations every year or two to keep it fresh, to see things that I might have otherwise missed, and I'm eager to dig into the New English Translation. The Timeless Truths Bible is one that they have just released, which includes devotional notes and commentary from a variety of theologians and pastors, but not just contemporary ones, going back to the era of the church fathers from the second century all the way up to the present day. So being able to see how the Bible has been translated, has been understood, and how the gospel is coherent across the centuries. It includes creeds and confessions that date back to those early centuries of the faith as well. Again, seeing the foundation that our faith is built on. And then it's beautifully designed with wonderful artwork. If you go to timelesstruthsbible.com, that's timelesstruthsbible.com, you can learn more about it, you can order a copy, you can check out the whole translation. Again, it's the New English Translation. We encourage you to do so. I'm eager to get my hands on one of these Bibles and to dig into this wonderful new translation from Thomas Nelson Bibles.
Pipe, should I do one of these, one that's come via mail?
Yes, we had a couple of questions submitted by people who weren't able to be here this evening, but post good questions.
All right, this is from Lance, an aspiring podcaster. If you could speak to the young, innocent Happy Rant, so ostensibly ourselves circa 10 years ago when we started this.
And were you were kind of jaded when we started, though, so I don't know if you were innocent.
Gosh, we were just kids. I was just a 37-year-old kid, you know, my whole life ahead of me. All right, so if you could speak a quarter of my life, 20 more years ahead of me. Golly. If you could speak to the young, innocent Happy Rant, what advice would you give them? And then a follow-up, what does podcasting success realistically look like? don't get me started.
I wanted you to get started. That's why I made sure Lance's question.
All kidding aside, I'm gonna you take away all the money, all the fame. I'm gonna go somewhat earnest on this. All right. I dare say that if we didn't enjoy this all these years, we wouldn't have done it. So I think foundational to, like, quote unquote success, whatever we're calling it, like, you've got to enjoy spending an hour a week with the people that you're doing this with, or else you don't have to. Yeah. I mean, for some of us, it's just a business decision, you know.
For some people, the art of pastoring just didn't work out.
By an hour a week, I mean an hour once a month, like Ronnie spends. You know, maybe that's the workaround.
We need to give him more time to fill up his
show
tank.
Show up to work every third time. You know, it's amazing what that does
for
your
mood.
Guys,
I'm an extrovert. You know? I'm an extrovert when it comes to podcasting. I'm an introvert.
You know? You need your downtime. I would say, what does success realistically look like? If you enjoy it, if you enjoy the people that you're with, like, clearly, audience people have enjoyed it over the years. That helps. And, you know.
Yeah, and not money.
Yeah. In the middle of the bell curve, we were able to make some money with it, and, you know, that's kind of ebbing away now.
But let me give a boring answer to this because we haven't been boring enough tonight. Yeah. The podcast game has changed.
That's true.
In the last 10 years, dramatically, we are one of like a billion podcasts now. We used to be one of a million, and so trying to make money off of it and trying to build an audience is a lot harder than it used to be. We're at a great spot because we have listeners who kind of stuck with us. But if you were going to start a podcast now, I just wouldn't anticipate a lot, which means doing what Ted said matters more. Enjoying it, whether it's guests, finding a core of listeners, that matters far more because it's really hard to do anything numerically significant now versus what it was, you know, 10 years ago.
I mean, good luck finding two other middle-aged white guys who want to be on a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. How do you recapture this magic, you know? All right, Lance, appreciate the question. We're back to live ones, though. You guys are in the on-deck circle. Are we ready? No? Oh, you moved over. You couldn't see. Yeah.
Tired of staring at people's
backs. That's sweet of you to say. I'm glad we had this talk, you two. Mm.
Great talk.
Yeah, it was a good talk. Great talk. Yeah. All right, man, what do we got?
My question is, we are at the end of an era, a pretty phenomenal era, I believe, and of this very culture transformative podcast. And so
you can keep going. This is great.
There's going to be an inevitable biopic Happy Rant movie coming out.
It'll be massive.
Right? Yeah. And I'm going to be out there like the Star Wars fans, instead of lightsaber, I'm going to have my megaphone out there with me, camping out a week before. What actors are playing each one of you guys, along with Stephen Altrogi, and who do you want to direct that movie?
Oh, I have thoughts. Yeah, I like this. Pipe. The movie. Who's
Stephen Altrogi would be played by Steve Buscemi.
That is true.
Stephen Altrogi will be played by Stephen Altrogi.
No, Stephen Buscemi. I like that.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi would be Trogs.
So we've cast Trogs. Who plays you?
No idea.
Okay.
A good question. What do y'all think?
For Pipe, what do you think? Cast him, Ron. Put our studio exec hats on for a minute.
Oh, man.
Who? Wahlberg? I do like Wahlberg for you.
I can see that. I can
similar
see that
coloring. Color. Yeah, similar energies.
You mean white?
I think you got about 12 inches on him.
You're both white men.
There's a lot of those.
Kirk Cameron. Wow.
I'm sorry about that.
That's intriguing.
Get out.
That's somebody we can actually
security.
I've got his agent on the phone, actually. We could get that done tonight, probably.
I mean, unless this is deemed too arrogant, Paul Rudd, possibly.
I could see it.
Because he has been the same age for like 20 years, and I've been about the same age. Like, I just have a perpetual baby face.
I roll with that, man.
He's a bit of a smart aleck.
Dude, who was... You've seen I Love You, Man, right? With Paul Rudd?
No.
Okay, yeah. Don't watch it. It's filthy. I was going to ask who the other guy... Who's the other guy in I Love You, Man? Jason Segel. I could see Jason Segel with you. You're both tall.
I can see...
You know, there's
the
present.
One from How I Met Your Mother? Oh, that guy?
Okay, well, maybe not. It's a
Look, I'm not...
document.
There's options. He's also my coloring, so
I know you've thought there's that. I don't see color, but he's your coloring. Who do I see for myself?
Yeah, because I know you've thought about this.
I have, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, aspirational for me. There's an aspirational one and then a realistic one.
Yeah, well, let's hear the realistic one.
Well.
Because it's not Brad Pitt. Let's just clear that. Let's
aspirational
clear the
was Brad Pitt.
Yes, I know.
That's just so ridiculous.
Once upon a time in Hollywood, grizzled older Brad Pitt. I'm just saying. That could be a thing.
Realistic Anthony Hopkins.
Let's open the mind up a little bit. Realistic Elliot Gould. Okay. I would be delighted with Elliot Gould. Huh. I think there's a certain energy there that I enjoy. So,
and he does like rocking some unique specs.
Yeah, yeah. Elliot Gould circa like that. Ocean's 11. I could be happy with
it. All right.
That. What about you, baby?
I don't know. I never thought about it.
You.
I've never thought
lies.
About it. Throw it out there.
You. Oh, let's cast Ronald.
Mm.
Cast it.
Audience.
I like the guy who said Clooney.
I heard. Was there an Oscar Isaac back there?
Wait, who'd you say?
I'll roll with Oscar.
I don't even know who that is.
I'm super happy to roll with Oscar.
I think Oscar Isaac
is... My wife is super happy for
who
me
is this
to roll with
some new little,
Oscar Isaac.
Some new
She's
little
stoked
hipster?
About that.
Who's this Oscar Isaac?
What's he been in that Ted would have seen?
I don't watch Star Wars. It's space.
Like
I'm an Earth guy.
Star Wars. Pretty much like every new movie.
He's purely terrestrial.
He played Joseph in the Nativity movie that came out.
I'll tell you a guy from Star Wars that I'm intrigued by. The guy with the longer face. Who am I thinking of, baby?
Oh, Adam Driver.
I enjoyed Driver. I
the
enjoyed
most
him in this
Hollywood.
Jared, have you seen a movie called Patterson? I loved it. Did you enjoy it? The Bus Driver Poet. Did you enjoy the picture?
That movie sucked. Yeah.
No, it was good.
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was really thoughtful, really interesting. I could be happy with Driver.
That movie was an experience. And listening to you two talk like about chasing dreams.
Let's go directors real quick. I've got Cameron Crowe. I think mood wise, Cameron Crowe would do a nice job with this. Who do you guys have?
I have Greta Gerwig.
Oh gosh. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, a quick PSA, Ronnie Martin, big sweetheart.
Yeah.
It's the Greta Gerwig promo.
I'm telling you, man, how dope would that be, man, with Gerwig?
Oh,
I don't know directors very well. Yeah. So I'll entrust this.
It looked like
you
Frances Ha. Have you seen that by her?
No.
The New York Greta Gerwig. Yeah.
No.
It's a good movie. Good little picture.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a little bit more
Art House Theater brought to you by the Happy Rant. Who's next?
All right. Let's clap it up. That was good.
Oh, what do we have here?
They are magnets. They're all the same. So there's one for each of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm Emma, and I am young enough. I haven't had my dreams of being a writer crushed yet, set by you guys. So thanks for that. My question is, what advice would you have for a young person who wants to write? But I think one of my biggest hindrances to writing is it feels like there's an overabundance of words everywhere. And I'm exhausted by the stream of words everywhere.
That's why we're stopping this podcast, actually.
Yeah.
An overabundance
so
of words.
There's going
to be fewer
yes.
words in the world. At
yes.
the end of the day.
What advice would you give to me, like, finding... I have things like, you know, I have thoughts, oh, I want to write about this, I want to write about this, and then my brain shuts off because there's just so much out
yeah,
there.
Yeah. I would say don't let that get to you. You know, like, there's always an abundance of these things in any particular era if you think about the context, right? And there seems like a lot of stuff now, and there is a lot of stuff, but we're also... We have more availability to lots of stuff now. So if you have something to say, God gave you that particular something in you that wants to get out. So don't deprive us of the joy and potentially the insight that we might gain from something you will write just because you think there's too much out there. Because there might be a lot out there, but you're the only one that can put what you want to put out there. And so I just say, just do it. Go for it.
So I've got a slightly funny but semi-serious thing and then a serious thing. So the slightly funny but semi-serious is that you should come to Union University.
I have thought about it.
UU.edu/apply if you use the promo code CLUCK.
I wonder what Ted's going to say right now.
You should come. You should study writing. It would be a fun time.
And only Ted is getting paid by this sponsor. Yeah, I'm not thrilled with this.
Well, I mean, I think we do it in a joyful way, and we spend time with the best that there is out there. We read great things, and we practice, and that's just tends to be a really joyful thing. But I would say when, you know, like when I'm teaching creative nonfiction, I think of it in terms of a triangle. So you've got like your experiences, right? In one corner, that's like the narrative part. Then you've got your perspective or your take, like in another corner. And then you've got the outside world, like an audience. And if you're writing an essay or some creative nonfiction thing, like a memoir, if all three corners are represented, chances are it has legs, right? Because you can take your story, you can connect it to the outside world, you can have a perspective or a thing that you're trying to say that makes it not journaling, right? And then if you keep practicing this, you'll kind of get good at interacting with audiences in that way, and then that's when the opportunities kind of start to come. So I would say just keep letting it rip, man. Keep practicing that and have fun with it, and don't let the volume of the words grind you down. Because one thing that I feel like you would agree with me on this, you probably both would, at any given time in the world, I think there's only X number of people who can actually write well.
Yep.
And you might be one of those people, you know, and there may be more words in the world, but as far as like people who can actually do it at a high level, like it's a pretty small number. So yeah, I would say like Ron said, go for it.
Yeah. I ran across a quote a couple weeks ago from J.R. Moringer. He's a novelist and memoirist and whatever. And he just said, you need to ask the question, can you write? It doesn't get asked enough. Mm. And basically just, are you good? And, you know, there's a certain amount of subjectivity to that. There are billions of words put into the world every day, and most of them are dumb. Write something better. And if you can, you're going to do people a great service. So it takes a certain amount of confidence to write stuff and put it out into the world. And writers always talk about how insecure they are. They're also profoundly arrogant. Because they're like, look what I wrote that you should read. Good. Be that. Do that. Put it out there. Read enough to know, like, yeah, people have written a lot on that and it's not good. So I'm going to write something better and put it out.
Well, thanks.
I love it. Great question. Great advice.
Great question.
Let's clap it up.
She should get a Bible.
Yeah, Bible worthy if there ever was one. We got an on deck right here.
All right, Matt Harmon and Ted, you and I are, in one sense, colleagues. We're part of the academy. I'm a fellow professor, so I know the grind that you experience on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that one of the things that we long for as professors is to make a difference in the lives of our students. And so I wanted to ask each of you to identify one professor from college or beyond, college, seminary, graduate school, who made a difference in your life, and what is it that they said or did that made that difference? And Ronnie, I'm going to let you off the hook because you and I talked during the break and discovered that I probably had you in an online class about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take you off the hook.
It was him, wasn't it?
You.
Yeah.
You don't have to mention.
To be fair, Ronnie didn't remember, but.
Yeah. So, yeah, just for each of you to share one college or later professor who made a difference and what it is they did or said that made that difference in your life.
Man, I had a guy in undergrad, and I know I've told this on the program before, but his name was Joe Burnworth, Dr. Joe Burnworth, taught in the education department at Taylor. And I was a complete bag of hair at that time and just kind of rudderless in my life. I had just lost football and didn't want to be at school, didn't even want to be alive. And I took this guy's class, and I remember a couple things. He made much of the Lord on a regular basis. This was just part and parcel with like how he communicated with his students, and that stuck with me. He made much of his wife, you know, just kind words about his lady. And and again, like 19-year-old me, very adrift in the world, but like there was something about that that I found very winsome and wanting to emulate, you know. And then I think probably the most significant personal thing he said to me was shortly after I was injured, he came to visit me in the hospital, and he leaned over the bedside and he was like, have you ever considered becoming a writer? And it had never crossed my mind. And, you know, he believed in that part of my experience and encouraged me to do it, and was just a sweet guy who loved the Lord, loved his wife well, and that's what you want to be. So yeah, what's yours, Pipe?
Sam Storms. So Sam Storms taught at Wheaton for 5 years. I was there for four of those years, and took him there. There's an introductory sort of Christian thought class that every freshman has to take at Wheaton, and he had a wonderful reputation after teaching for 1 year, and so his was over enrolled, and he still signed me into the class. So I went to him and basically begged, and he signed me in. And then I took every class that he offered thereafter, which was a big reason I became a Bible major, was because he taught theology. And I have portrayed pretty accurately myself as a college student. He was one of the few who left impressions that moved me towards godliness and humility in that era, for a variety of reasons. One is he just was a humble person. He's brilliant, but he taught high level theology pastorally, as if this should matter to us, as if this should be formative in our love of the Lord, not just our ability to win arguments. That was a fascinating paradigm to me at the time. He represented people of opposing positions with grace and accuracy. Like, if they had walked into the room while he was talking about what they believed, they would have said, yeah, that's about it. And so, again, for somebody who loved to win arguments and beat people down, there was a certain amount of humility and grace and integrity in there that I didn't have at the time. And then he just exuded love for Jesus, which, again, not a thing that I associated theology with knowledge and winning. And he showed a whole different side. And that all came much more to fruition later, but the impression was strong then. And I mean, to the same point, he spoke when he told stories about his family, he spoke with love and affection, and he just exuded that towards people in general. So there was a humility, a warmth, and then all the things I've already mentioned that were pretty significant to me in that not great phase in life.
That's a really good question.
It was a great question.
Like, yeah. Thank you. Let's clap it up. That was excellent.
I actually have a question.
All right, man.
And a couple of comments real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick. First, back to fan casting. Mm-hmm. Ted, I'm going with actually Jason Segel for you. And the reason
I can live with that, dude. Go.
The reason is because he played David Foster Wallace in a movie, and you had a huge man crush on him. I don't know if you still do.
Yeah, still
okay,
do.
Okay, there we go.
And I loved Siegel's portrayal of him in that movie.
There
so
you go.
I'm 100% in on that. I like
All right, perfect. Yeah. I have no other fan casting suggestions. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, that's a good one. I appreciate the helping us hone that in.
No, absolutely. Ronnie, let's talk Violent Grace later.
Violent Grace. Might have a deal.
Only if Jared will call.
No, he needs a new width, so it's fine.
You're off the table.
Okay, so you guys talking about Cameron Crowe a lot and sports movies, understanding that I don't have a sports, but I do have a lot of 90s angst.
Yeah.
And the person that I associate most with 90s angst is John Cusack.
Mm.
Favorite John Cusack movie or who is the love story in Rocky really about? Is it Rocky and Adrian, or is it Rocky and Apollo Creed?
Oh, I mean, in the way of all boxing, I think you get to the end of the experience of boxing with someone, and there's affection and respect.
It's,
you know,
it's a bromance for sure.
Well, yeah, but there's a reason why fighters
as shown when they
each
roll
other.
In the surf in a later movie.
Yeah, there's a reason why they hug each other after the fight. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that, but. The other part of the question was Cusack movie. I'm a Say Anything guy. I just absolutely love Say Anything. It's a great kind of late 80s, early 90s experience. Great music, great Seattle thing. Cusack just being real charming.
Mm-hmm.
I dig it. Where are you at on it? Are you a Say Anything guy?
I do love Say Anything. Mm-hmm. I am a big fan of Gross Point Blank, though.
Ooh, I love it, dude. Yeah,
so
we love
good.
That. Yeah.
Great soundtrack, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Nothing, Ronnie.
Not a Cusack guy?
No. High Fidelity.
Ooh, I love
that
High Fidelity.
That is my alternate choice.
So yeah. And I don't say that because I have a great ranking, but it just, I watched that one probably late 90s, and it resonated. I haven't seen it since, so I don't know if it holds up, but I really enjoyed it.
It does hold up. The Chicago, like, vinyl shop aesthetic, it's real nice.
Yep.
Have you seen that one, High Fidelity?
Yeah.
With the record store? Yeah, yeah, it's a fun one. Early Jack Black. Aaron, thanks for contributing. Let's clap it up for...
One last thing.
What's that? We want to go one more question?
How many more do we have in the front row?
Hey, how many more on deck do we have? Okay.
Let's move them quick. Yeah. Let's get the front row here.
I need deconstruction from Ted Guy to come find me later, too.
Okay.
Because he gets a Bible.
He gets a Bible.
Deconstruction
I love
from
it.
Ted Guy. Wow. That was Hunter from Wisconsin.
Yep. All right, boys. Let's go.
Hey, I'm Cooper from Atlanta. Barnabas.
Yes.
You have been described as the Michael B. Jordan of podcast
Michael
promo
B. Jordan.
Of podcast promo.
Similar coloring. Wait, what?
slightly overrated actor who's charming at times.
Not Michael Jordan.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. It's been so long until tonight since we heard a promo, and the Dwell thing was great. Mm. But for our friends back home, you know, they're not able to hear that. I thought it'd be great to immortalize one last podcast promo read.
One last promo run.
But
stretch it out.
This might be your greatest challenge yet. For this promo, you will be promoting Ronald J. Martin's dissertation entitled Toward a Healthier Leadership Approach for Emerging Lead Church Planters, Year 1 through 5.
Has there been a worse title?
Gosh, that's a page turner.
And I want you to convince us to read this page.
Has there been a worse title in the history?
You know, you're such a titling guy.
Can I see that? I need these words in front of me. That's a lot of
you
words.
I still don't know what the title is.
Okay. Give me a second here.
Planner, pastor, planner, a study in duality.
Get me a deal with Aaron to publish that thing.
Yeah. He publishes Bibles, so
get this done tonight.
You have to go to Dave Schrader for that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Toward a healthier leadership approach for emerging lead church
Dude,
planters.
They make
year
you have those
five.
Kind of titles. That's not my
nope.
fault. That's not my fault.
You're not helping. Your
I would
case.
Never have a title like that. Never.
No, Piper, block it out. Block out the noise.
All right.
I know you can do it.
This new book from Ronnie Martin is written in the academic vein, but it's actually far more pastoral than you would think. Don't let the big words in the title intimidate you. It's a lot of word soup.
Because those are the last ones you'll encounter.
Demanded by the publisher, but it is, in fact, aimed at people who are at the crux of church planting and are in the hardest years of that. And so this book offers encouragement, it offers clarity, it offers a path forward as a emerging church plant leader.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's why he's the wizard.
Available Barnabas next Piper. Spring on Zondervan Reflective.
What'd you say? I forgot Reflective.
It's available next spring on Zondervan Reflective.
Okay.
Zondervan Reflective.
Hey, I'm Micah.
Hey, hey Micah. Man.
Also from Atlanta.
Yeah.
I had two things I just want to say. First of all, listening to the rant has been awesome. I just feel like that y'all vocalize thoughts that I just like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I think that, but I haven't been able to put it into words. Does that make sense? But
yeah.
So like,
is that like we don't have a filter, so we say things that other people only think?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yes. But I'm like,
yeah. Exactly. You'll lose that as you age.
Yeah.
What's your question, big fella? What
yeah. So, you know, let's say until next time is just in heaven, right? Mm. What would sanctified happy it. Rant look like?
Oh, man, we got to do this thing in glory.
Sanctified happy rant?
That's when this thing's going to re-up?
Dude, yeah, in glory. So, not in a week and a half when you text, right, but rather in heaven. I'm going to be on a cloud. I'm going to be playing a harp. You know,
I mean, like Peter's going to let me in the gate and go. So here's
in
the thing.
All seriousness, this podcast could not exist if it weren't for a lack of sanctification.
No, that is
this true. Entire thing is poking fun at stuff that will someday be a lot better than it is.
That's true.
So I don't know that we could do a podcast like this in heaven.
That's the answer. That's a really solid answer. Yeah, that's so good.
Barnabas Piper.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for Pipe. Putting words to that so we didn't have to. All right, Oxford, what do we got?
I'm Trent, a.k.a. the reformed Ed Sheeran.
Oh, yeah, you sure
I
are,
see it.
Yeah. I look like Ed Sheeran, but I'm reformed.
Do you play a miniature guitar?
Castle on the Hill.
I don't sing either.
Okay, cool.
That's good.
Here's my question. If
that sounds a lot like the reformed Ed Sheeran. I don't play guitar or sing. That's what would happen.
If you could pick an angry reformed pastor to box a celebrity pastor and it'd be a good matchup, who are you picking?
An angry reformed.
A little matchmaking exercise.
Well, the angriest reformed pastor is probably what, like Paul Washer?
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like but him in a fight.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he's like welterweight, though. Who's a... Like, okay, I have one.
I have one.
Okay, you go first.
You go first.
Paul Washer versus Andy Stanley.
Whoa.
Oh. Age and weight brackets seem appropriate, and I feel like there's a lot of pent-up angst on... Like, that one, they're going to come out swinging.
Books versus iPads. Next.
I got one that everybody's going to like, man.
Wow, go.
Joe Thorne.
All right.
Versus Stephen Furtick.
Oh. Ferdy's got him on height, weight, speed.
Well, no doubt. You know.
At least weight, speed, and age.
No doubt. But Joe Thorne, man, so just...
Is he feisty? Is he got a little chip full of angst. Residing right here?
Yeah, rather large chip. Yeah,
he's like a little Gimli. He's a little dwarf.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Little guy. Feisty, though.
Scrappy. Yeah. What you got,
That's
Ted?
A great question. Thank you, Oxford. Let's clap it up. Do we have... This is the last question.
Last question.
In the history of this program.
No pressure.
This is no pressure.
Historic.
All right.
Can you announce your name? Can you tell us what your name is? And
my name is Mike from Boston.
Mike from Boston.
And I was going to ask you guys what your take was on Kirk Cousins after watching the quarterback, but you guys gave Ronnie a hard stare.
Whoa.
So I'm going to bypass that.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah. Let's bypass.
I'm going to bypass that.
Thank you, Mike from Boston.
You said everything with
Mike,
that.
He gave Ronnie a hard stare.
Why do you think they gave me a hard stare?
Oh, because they gave you a hard stare.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, there was. All right, so we're going to move on.
That wasn't an answer.
This is my first Gospel Coalition conference.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah,
they do a nice job over there.
So I'm wondering if you could give me some advice on how do I like measure people up based off of their bag game, right? Ooh. So like what kind of bag they're wearing. What's their vibe?
So what's the potential? Well, you got to measure them up on a couple of levels. And I want to hear you guys on this.
It's funny because Ted's never attended.
No, I've never attended and I never will. But
do tell.
I've been around Christians using other Christians for decades. And so you got to decide what you're trying to accomplish. Like, are you trying to get the book deal? Or are you trying to, like, you know, get into somebody's seminary? Or are you just wanting to be buddies because it makes you feel better? Like, so you got to decide what the approach is going to accomplish. And, you know, from there, I would say... You know, maybe they got the little Scholastic backpack. Maybe it makes them more approachable. But you see a nice little leather deal like this, and you're thinking, can I even talk to this guy? Look at that. It's magnificent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So some of it's your own comfort level vis-a-vis, like, talking to somebody in that setting.
This dude has a backpack, and I'm supposed to be all thrilled.
I'm supposed to be all excited because he's wearing a backpack.
Carabiners are a dead giveaway on certain... Like, if they have a backpack with carabiners, you're like, that's seminary or below.
Okay.
Possibly undergrad.
All right.
Where are you at on the water bottle lashed to the backpack? I feel like that's a particular deal.
Well, yeah, because it's pretty much always Nalgene if it's lashed to a backpack, even though there's a preponderance of water bottles. But yeah, that fits in the same.
What do we feel about like dude with like no backpack, just like fanny pack?
Fanny pack?
Like that's serious.
That's a thing. Yeah.
That's like going to be an older dude, right?
He's got the keys in there.
No, fanny packs are like trendy now.
I know, very functional.
It's all right there, front and center.
I will say this, at a conference, the people carrying messenger bags planned poorly because they're not comfortable when you're hauling crap and buying books all over a convention center in the back.
But it sends a strong vibe. You're
trying to look a certain kind of professional. Yes. And also, what you can tell about them is that they care more about their look than function.
What about the guys that walk around with no bag?
Yeah,
psychos.
Like they just have like three wallets in each of their pockets.
See,
I know somebody here that like dresses like that.
You know how when if somebody walked into church carrying bags, you'd be like somebody and just kind of watch that person. Mm-hmm. Somebody walks into a conference with no bags.
I mean, it's
somebody should
weird.
Watch that person.
It's that's, just kind of weird. It's like, what are you doing?
That's
here?
A little question.
What are you trying to steal? Guys with guns or like clocking that person?
Yeah, that's what it is.
So, Mike, let's get down to brass tacks. You tell me, what are you trying to accomplish? Like, what do you want to get out of this?
Oh.
So you're looking back on.
I don't think we have time in that pod in the rest of this podcast.
You're looking back on 3 days at Gospel Coalition or whatever this one is. Together for what is it?
This is Gospel Coalition.
Gospel Coalition.
Together for the Gospel. End it. That was the last laugh.
Dude, you get back on that plane to Boston, and for you to be able to say, you know what, doggone it, that was worth the money. That was a success.
Yeah.
What needs to happen?
Hey, I'm looking for business cards. I'm looking for contacts, connections,
publishing connects.
Right? Connections,
because you got some connections right here.
I got some connections right
I'm
here.
I'm telling you, we know successful. People.
Can I give myself a shout out? So, youth pastor, theologian.
Oh
right?
Man,
that's a strong name.
There are
strong
none of those.
Name.
Yeah.
Theology, youth ministry, putting them together.
I'm more than a
so
more
looking,
than a fun
looking
games
for connections.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. If as a youth pastor, trying to give off vibes that are of more gravitas than the impression of youth pastor, I'm assuming. Mm. Backpack is okay. No carabiners. Not dressed like this, however. This is not going to get you a publishing deal. I realize this is a casual event, so you need to step it up to like the business casual realm, but not trendy. Trendy is going to... This is a reform
crowd. I don't
crowd.
Do trendy.
Yeah. That's
going to... Neither
I'm
do that.
Boston. Yeah. I'm Boston. Yeah, I don't do trendy. Yeah.
So, But I mean, youth pastor is a hurdle you have to get over in the reform crowd.
Let's experiment with a structured jacket.
Well, and I will say, awkwardly, I'm already taking up way more than the time allotted.
You sure are, yeah.
Awkwardly, I walked in and saw a pipe and thought, oh, man, like, my shirt that I brought for the conference is like almost identical to what you're wearing.
Yeah, perfect.
You got it. You're in.
Yeah. I am your paradigm. There we go. I bet you good luck.
You are my Yoda.
Mike, scale 1 to 10. What would it take to get you in this outfit? We're looking at 2 t-shirts, a sweater, a jacket, and it's 94 degrees in here. Okay?
But to be fair,
you're going to need an IV after because you're going to be nearly dead.
That's because churches in the Midwest don't have air conditioning.
Anyone who knows me would know I would not be well if I'm wearing.
Yeah, that's right.
You mean if you're wearing jeans and a sweatshirt?
It's just the jacket. It's more the jacket. It's more the jacket and
plastic wrapped
pumpkin-colored sweater.
Yeah.
Those look like my grandma's couch.
It is. It's a great look. Just... You know,
kind of like the same shirt I'm wearing that you're wearing.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
All this, I hate to bring up all this fashion talk. Let's clap it up for Mike from Boston.
Babe, we got to shut this down.
We do need to shut it down.
We need to shut it down.
Yeah,
forever.
No, we do.
How about we shut it down forever? Yeah. How does that?
By forever, you mean a week and a half.
Yeah. How about we never do this again?
Let's never do it again. You heard it. You heard it straight from the beautiful mouth of Ronald J. Martin. We're never doing
straight
it again.
Straight from the pumpkin sweatshirt.
Straight from the pumpkin spice mouth of Ronald J. Martin. Seriously, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for being with us in it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making us a part of your life, in your car, and in your headphones. It's been a blast. We have loved it. And we're going to be around for a few minutes after. But this is it, man. This is the last laugh.
Pipe. No, that was the last live event.
Yeah. Anything to add, Ron? You guys good?
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks.
We've said a lot. Yeah.
I think we can all show our appreciation for some good times together, for sure.
Indeed.
It's been meaningful.
Wow, well said. Jared's taken aback by him.
It's been meaningful.
It has.
It's been meaningful, and it's been a strange gig, too, and I like that about it.
It has. It's been weird.
It's been a weird gig.
Weird and fun.
None of us anticipated any of this.
No, that's right.
And I think that's what gives it kind of the element of it that I think I'll be able to look back on it fondly because of that.
100%.
Until we start again in January.
Yeah.
So
after our sabbatical,
sabbatical, just taking the holidays,
sabbaticals.
Yeah, sabbaticals. Yes. Pipe, anything?
I could not have envisioned doing this for 10 years when we started.
Right.
This
seemed like a very fly by night. We'll give it 6 months.
It felt like that every week for 10 years.
It did.
At no point did this feel like a thing of lasting significance, and so. The fact that any of you said anything nice is wonderful and really encouraging. And
well, I think you, can I say something nice about you, Pipe?
Please.
Yeah. So I think one of the I'm getting serious now for a second.
Okay.
So one of the strengths of the show, and this was always Pipe, was it had to be every week.
Yeah.
So I think that's been one of the strengths of it. It has to be consistent. So there has to be new material, even though you could listen to any episode. You're not sure if it was new or it happened, 2 months ago. But I think, you always pushed that. And that's, I think, what gave it its sense of continuity, freshness, and the ability to just continue to garner support and new fans. It's kind of like the way we do everything else. Like the more consistent you are with something, it kind of develops its own sense of branding around it. And that's
100%.
What it was. It was like, it was a brand new podcast every week. I think that was super important, and Pipe really pushed that. And he really pushed, me and Big T.
He was really the dad of the podcast.
Yeah, he was really
being
the dad.
Honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
kind of guiding us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suggesting.
Yeah.
Disciplining when necessary.
Yeah, 100%.
No, it was great.
Wouldn't have survived if you guys wouldn't have brought me on, but I think everybody here knows that.
I mean, and we don't don't think we don't thank God every day for
100%.
That happy circumstance.
100%.
I mean,
every day.
Yeah, grateful. This has been a blast.
It has.
Thanks for coming tonight, you guys. Still more merch, more snacks, take some things, say goodbye. I'm going to say, Pipe, that we have done what we always do on this program, boys. And until next time. That's a wrap. Let's go. Give yourselves a hand. Thank you.
If you've listened to the Happy Rant for a long time, you will know that for years and years, we partnered with Dwell Bible, the best audio Bible app available out there, and they are sponsoring these last three episodes of the Happy Rant. Dwell Bible, if you're not familiar with it, is, like I mentioned, the best audio Bible available. There are multiple narrators, there are multiple versions. They offer listening plans, so if you want to listen through the Bible in a year, or go at a more reflective pace, or focus on the letters of Paul, or any number of other things, they have plans that will let you do that. The benefits of an audio Bible are so many. Oftentimes, life is too busy to sit down and read, especially if you have small children, or if you're on the road a lot. But an audio Bible is something you can do in the midst of something else. So while you're working out, while you're doing yard work, while you're doing chores around the house, while you're commuting, the car is one of the best times. The Bible is then with you. You can listen to it. You can reflect on it. You can rewind and listen again. If you're a Bible teacher or a preacher, this is a great way to infuse the text into you while you prepare to teach or preach. So I want to invite you to visit dwellbible.com/happyrant to check this out, see all their features, and they are offering 30 days free. It's a subscription service, and it is well worth your money. I've been a subscriber now for years. I love it. I use it regularly. Again, that's dwellbible.com/happyrant to get 30 days free. And I'm pretty sure that after that, you will say, this is absolutely worth it. I want to pay for the ongoing subscription. I would encourage you to pay for the lifetime subscription because they are regularly rolling out new features, new narrators, new versions, and they are building this whole thing out to better serve their audience and provide new ways to engage with Scripture. We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
There's no better way to start your day than spending time in God's Word and in prayer. Don't know where to start? We have a free daily prayer podcast created to help you do just that. The Your Daily Prayer podcast delivers a thoughtful devotional and timely prayer to you 7 days a week. Gain inspiration, faith, and encouragement with daily messages in 10 minutes or less. To start listening now, search Your Daily Prayer on your favorite podcast app or visit lifeaudio.com.